Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Okay, we're on the air for a Saturday night show. With me is my co-host, Neil. I just turned 30, Foster. How you doing? Well, I'm going to give the Neil what I gave him yesterday, but it's on the air for our 5 listeners. He's the birthday boy or girl.
Want to tell him you said a couple of days ago that was really funny in the car?
Where I lunged at you as you were driving on the highway and said, "Time to die!" So the highlight of Neil's birthday, besides the Dairy Queen Blizzard cake, was his nephew Gavin. Gavin was so adorable, I don't think anybody even noticed Neil. Gavin's a little bit over one now, and he's able to walk around. He kind of looks like a very tiny, cuter version of Neil. So he did get hurt when he ran into his mom's hand, and it hurt his little eyelid. And Neil, what was your theory on that?
Munchausen syndrome.
And what is that for our listeners?
It's where you deliberately injure yourself so you can beat off the sympathy of people while he's beating hurt.
So you think the 1-year-old is doing this to steal your birthday heat? Are you afraid to say because Gavin has ears everywhere?
Yes.
Quash yelled. And I got TV last night. Last Saturday, my TV went kaput, so I've got a TV now. The children are in there watching it. But, you know, this show's not really appropriate for kids. I mean, we're talking about collecting action figures. But little kids don't want to hear about that.
Really? I'm not going to talk about that South Park?
No, dude, we're not going to talk about that South Park.
like the audience really wants to hear about that.
We're waiting for Eric to pop in. Neil, what's your earliest memory of collecting action figures or playing with them?
Was it the Turtles one? No, I had to have had some beforehand, but I just can't think of what they were.
Well, you know, I remember having Transformers when I was a kid.
I had those, but for some reason you don't seem to deem Transformers action figures. Why is that? They're not human enough?
Some people, I consider them action figures. They're a robot, they can be played. If they're compatible with your other action figures, it's an action figure. Like, I would not consider Barbie an action figure.
That's the person that didn't want to merge different wrestling groups together.
No, I merged different wrestling groups. See, I can say sci-fi terms that Optimus Prime is a giant robot compared to G.I. Joe. I can't explain why Tito Santana is like 9 feet tall compared to the One Man Gang. Or the Akeem action figure. Okay, we got Eric on here. Let's let him in. Aaron.
Hey, Victor. Hey, Victor. Hey, Neil.
How you doing?
Okay. So, we're talking about action figures, huh?
Yeah, we're going to get into the wrestling action figures, but yeah, what were your earliest ones?
Maybe He-Man? Maybe Thundercats?
Oh, yeah! Yeah, He-Man. Actually, my earliest ones, and I have a story about this, when I was a kid, I loved the He-Man figures, you know, like I had He-Man, I had a lot of them. I had a Skeletor figure, but the Skeletor figure mysteriously disappeared. Now, I pondered on this for a while, where it was at, and the house we lived in had this big barn in the backyard. And one day in the barn, I found it. To the day they died, And they would not admit to it, either one of them. My mother is Pentecostal, by the way, so that's quite the combination.
Yeah. He-Man is one of those shows that I watched when I was so young that I don't actually remember that much about it, except for a few characters. I just remember having a few Skeletor and He-Man.
You know, I remember watching the show a lot. It's one of those shows that's not going to hold up. Like, if you watch Transformers now and you go into it with an open mind, it's going to hold up if you can remember what you saw in it as a kid.
Yeah, actually, that's one thing I never saw, really. You know, it's strange. I just kind of missed it for some reason, Transformers.
Yeah, but He-Man has this thing where... He-Man, I watch it now, and I don't even see what I found the appeal of as a kid, because usually, you know, Skeletor is such an ineffective villain. Like, you know,
it's cool.
Well, it also affects that Skeletor's kind of a pussy. He's always getting his ass kicked. You know, Megatron was usually, you know, Megatron usually kept the Autobots on the run.
They always say the face of Megatron's like, all right, John, at the Decepticons, as long as this plan does not involve Starscream here, I'm hearing it. Did somebody say my name?
No, Starscream.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, the one time Starscream...
Golden, that we got rid of this, narc. Soundwave.
Eric, when's the last time you saw Transformers? Like the old show?
The old show?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever did.
Okay.
Actually, by some reason.
Okay, we were watching, and it was just one of these things where Starscream was being such a... where Starscream is such an ineffective wimp. And at one time, he was getting beat up, and he just got punched once, and he's just going, ah!
Somebody's being shot by the Atlantean.
Yeah, that was it. You'll find me more difficult to defeat. The Atlantean shot him one time, he collapsed. Okay, to get back to toys, you know, I had a lot of the Transformers when I was a kid. You know, and I don't know how much they cost back then, but I remember my mom had she managed to get me a big collection of them. And
I
even had Optimus Prime.
I think they were kind of expensive because they were back when they were still die-cast, and you know, they were only semi-occasional unless they were tiny and small. Any of the bigger ones like Optimus Prime were probably a bit more expensive, especially since they came with all the little extras like his trailer.
Yeah, I'm not sure how she managed to get them for me because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, and she worked in nursing homes. She worked in a nursing home. You know, we were barely getting by. I'm thinking that she might have been able to find them secondhand, usually.
Goodwill. Goodwill's generally one
of
those places to find a bunch.
But anyway, my Optimus Prime disappeared, and for years that was the greatest mystery in my life because I wanted to know who the hell stole my Optimus Prime. If you're listening to this podcast and you have information on it, please contact me through Facebook. Because I will hunt that culprit down, and I will break his goddamn hands. Okay, I need to cool off right now, so I think this will be a good time for a word from one of our sponsors.
And now a word from the Reverend Good Job.
Fear! Our God is not a God of fear! No, our God is a God of love! The God to fear is Gilgamesh! He is a million feet tall, covered in an armor made of Gloranium. With his mighty thunder mace, he can kill us all in a single swat. Hail Gilgamesh!
That was a sermon from the Reverend Good Job.
I'm sorry, I don't know who it is. That I really just buy the sponsors through a separate thing, so I really don't know who these people are.
Anyway.
I guess Reverend Good Job's not going to show up again, is he?
I don't know. I really don't. It depends on whoever gets out through the pool. What were you going to say, Eric?
Yeah, I guess after that, the big extra line that I was into was Ghostbusters, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and maybe even the short-lived Batman Toy Biz line, which had the infamous Bob the Goon action figure.
No, I had some of the Ghostbusters stuff, but it wasn't so much the action figures. I mostly had, like, whatever weird, strange gifts they might have, or just, like, you know, like the little, not the proton pack, but the little, you know, the little trap you set, drop down, and the little PK meter.
I had the Ghostbusters main figures, but I could never find monsters, so I think I just had the Ghostbusters fighting dinosaurs.
Ghost dinosaurs.
But I had nothing else to do.
Yeah, it's like I was having to fight ghost dinosaurs, you know. The thing about the Ghostbusters animated series is you never really notice that they're off-model. It's like they don't look like the actors, but they do such a good job of capturing the characters.
Yeah.
Except for Winston, that's like Black Guy.
Remember the episode where they fought the Spawn of Cthulhu?
Not really. I haven't seen that one. The kids actually have it on DVD, so I'm trying to figure out when that one is because I kind of want to watch it.
I think that's like season two. That's not on the first set. I've looked it up. Hard to believe that was written by J. Michael Straczynski, isn't it?
Not really. I guess I think he probably worked better on those shows, or even I think Straczynski works better on things that are completely his own, or on things that have tight creative controls. Like, you don't want to let Straczynski write Spider-Man and say, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. We trust you. Okay, wait a minute. We have somebody coming in. Hold on. We have an expert commentary. Connor. Hey, Connor, come here a second. Well, I was going to ask you a question about Ghostbusters.
What?
Connor, tell them about the Ghostbusters episode you like.
What?
They can't hear you, sweetie. Neil, you and Eric, talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Okay, so, yeah. I was really into the Ninja Turtle line. I think I still have somewhere that big Krang body doll, the body that Krang was in. I have that somewhere. And it still looks kind of creepy.
Okay, what was that now, Eric?
I still have that. No, those are the body that Krang was hanging at. Was in. I still have a big doll of that somewhere.
I couldn't find that one. I found the body he had and the in-between one that was just kind of a little metal walker.
Yeah.
I could never find the one that had his body that he grew giant in.
That's ironic. That's like the only thing I have left. I don't even think I have the actual Krang left. I just have the big body. I have the big figure of Krang's body, and I have a talking Hulk Hogan that still works after 20 years. You know, it doesn't power him anymore.
I had the big Krang body. I think that came out about a year or maybe the second year of after Turtles line came. Like, it took a while for that big Krang thing to come out.
Well, you know what you could do, Eric? You could take some chewing gum and chew on it for a while, then stick it in the slot where Krang should be.
Yeah, I could do that, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, getting into the wrestling figures, Joe, the first wrestling figure I had was, I had a few of these generic ones. What you'll find with the generic wrestlers from that time period is they bear a striking resemblance to bootleg Masters of the Universe figures.
Yeah.
I didn't know Skunkor was a wrestler.
You know, just in body-wise, because they always had, like, the fur trunks. And the first one I had was this guy in purple, and he had the Tarzan strap like Jerry Lawler, and he had a silk cape. And
yeah,
I looked
like Nikita Koloff or Ivan Koloff, so I called him Ivan Stetson for some reason. You know, it's not Russian. That's what I told him when I was, like, 7 or 8.
I had a Marty Jannetty figure from the old Remco line. Now, I don't know if you've seen the Remco AWA figures, but they don't exactly... They all have the Masters of the Universe bodies. Even Greg Gagne. You know, so they never looked right. And I had a Buddy Roberts figure for years that I assumed was Sid.
Yeah, I didn't even know... I got a couple of them at a wrestling show when I was, like, 8. They were loose figures, and I had to, like, ask them who they're supposed to be, the person at the desk. And, like, who's that? Jim Bronzell. Oh, okay, I'll get it. Who's that?
The only ones you recognize immediately are the Road Warriors just because they're not that different. Yeah. No, more or less. And now, I remember before a birthday I had, and I think it was 1988, because 1988 is the year where I started remembering everything. Before that, my life is kind of like a video camera on low battery. But my birthday, I got this, and I said, who's this? They said, Terry Funk. And they said, oh, yeah, he's a great wrestler. He beat the Junkyard Dog. And I was like, wow. And I think he disappeared. That figure disappeared in Gunnersville sometime around the Big Six moves in 2 years.
I saw the two LGNs that they got this, at that same weekend of champions wrestling shows around 90-91. But for some reason, I think I had a Hulk Hogan figure even before I was into wrestling. Somehow, like, I don't know how. The Hulk Hogan LGN.
Yeah, I had the Hulk Hogan figure, too. I think I had the Hulk Hogan figure before that. I might have got it about a year before. I seem to remember opening it at my grandparents. I didn't get too many LGNs after that because that's when the Hasbro figures came out. And I had Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake, Million Dollar Man, Akeem, Big Boss Man. I had Demolition. And then the Gloob figures came out, the WCW one.
Yeah, I like those WWE figures.
Yeah, they had good molds, and they were kind of compatible with the Hasbro ones, and I had almost the entire line except for Ric Flair, Tom Zink, and Doom.
I think I still have them all somewhere, even though I can't find most of them. I don't know where they are, but I mean from Series 1. Then we have the strange Series 2 that's available overseas.
Yeah, they had Dustin Rhodes, Billy Gante, PN News.
And Big Josh.
Yeah, Ricky Morton. And that's the only action figure Ricky Morton had until like a few years ago through one of those Jax lines.
So wait, I think, wasn't the Ricky Morton one just a prototype they had that actually come out?
No, it ended up being released. I found one on eBay in the package. I don't even know how I feel about the Hasbro W figures because they didn't seem to really hold up under much of a kid's stress test.
Really?
You know, my old toy bin is littered with figures missing arms and things, and it could have been I was playing too rough, but it seemed like some figures would not hold up.
There's some figures that I was pretty sure was about to break, but they haven't broken yet. I remember right after I got my Shawn Michaels Jax figure from Series 1, I just figured that he was kind of loose and he was going to break, but he hasn't break yet since, like, 1996, so I guess he's okay.
Yeah, I noticed some of them because I'm taking them out now of the box, you know, the ones that are working or not damaged or anything, because I keep them in a box and let the kids play with them mostly, though. Now that I've come into contact, it's like a druggie finding cocaine that's trying to recover, you know, like I guess cold sweat.
Yeah, so what's interesting about that line is that over time, it became, for some reason, they were in less and less doors, it seems. Maybe because, you know, wrestling was not popular during that time.
Yeah. Yeah, they were hard to find during that period, like from 1993 to 97. It was hard to find wrestling figures. WCW had the San Francisco Toy Makers line where they had the rubber LGN type ones, but they were harder rubber. Those were pretty easy to find usually. And I had Vader, Ric Flair, and the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, I had a lot of them. They were the first figures of a lot of people, you know, like Vader, Kevin Sullivan, Harlem Heat. And the only figures, I think, maybe ever of Alex Wright and Craig Pittman.
Yeah.
I saw Craig Pittman somewhere.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's the only Kevin Sullivan figure. Oddly enough. Then eventually WCW got the line for Toy Biz, and the Toy Biz figures kind of suck in various ways. There are a few good ones, like they made the best Big Show figure ever just in how big it was in scale. It's huge. It's bigger than LJNs, except for the ones, the only LJNs that are bigger are some of the early ones that were made wrong, but it's a huge figure. And they also had a really big Sid figure.
Yeah.
I found out recently, I found a blue blazer on eBay, and I was thinking, yeah, I'll just buy that. It's loose. It's $10. I was going to get it and didn't make it the week because I don't get paid till Monday. I just like rolled up crying.
So, think of all the wrestling companies in the U.S. that have had action figure lines. There's been WWE, WCW, AWA, TNA, ECW, and you can't forget Lucha Libre USA.
Oh, yeah. C-Mill had one in the 90s. C-Mill, or C-O-Mill L had one in the 90s.
Yeah, but was that still in America?
I found them at the convenience store. I found them at the convenience store in Dollar Tree.
You did, really?
They were hard rubber.
They actually know if they were on sale in America.
Yeah, I've seen that one around recently. You know, the thing I miss about Jax having the WF license is they produced a lot more figures.
Yeah.
I mean, they were usually of dubious quality. I actually miss the ones that they did, the bone-crunching ones. I kind of hate how big toys today have so many joints. It makes a, you know, because I was thinking for the, because the kids were playing with them and they were noticing, because, and I'll notice that after Connor's playing with, like, John Cena, his feet are all mingled up like he has rickets or bone-itis.
Why do you think the ECW figures?
I like those. I had most of them. The only ones I could find were the late line ones, like Sandman. I could find Mike Awesome.
I pretty much have, I think I have every single one of them except for Taz and Mike Awesome.
Yeah, I was trying to find Sandman. That's what I've been trying to, him. I thought I found one of the other.
Yeah, I think the later ones are just bought on Amazon.com.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know about even, you know, the thing is, I really love action figures collecting them, but the dealers kind of ruin it because they have how much they charge. Because, like, you know, I might want a loose action figure, but I'm not paying, like, more. I'm not paying $25 for it.
Yeah. ECW figures,
yep.
Obviously weren't, like, super high quality, but they were nice in a way because you never thought it would actually happen. But then again, if Lucha Libre USA gets figures and they get ECW figures, then they're not strange.
Yeah, and TNA's got figures, and I'm trying to check to see guys that I missed. They got action figures, and I like how I made that whistle like the beaver, like the gopher from Winnie the Pooh. And whenever that happens by accident, you try to recapture it, and you never can.
Yeah.
Thinking
of the wrestlers who have never had any action figures, the poor souls.
They were trying to do it on forum. You know, Blue Beanie never had one.
Tommy Rich never had one, I don't think.
No, I don't think he even got one in the Classics line, unless he got one through the, you know, Jax has the TNA license. Yeah, so let me think, because there was people that they were trying to think of people that had been on TV, and don't think Ron Garvin got one.
No, not Mikey Whipwreck.
Yeah, that's
Mikey Whipwreck, Public Enemy, and Pitbull for me, and I won't. Mikey Whipwreck, the Pitbulls, 911, and Public Enemy never had action figures.
Yeah, it was more. Public Enemy's kind of odd because they were in WCW at a time when they were making figures.
They just, yeah, but the problem is WCW had a million people, and they just.
Yeah, they didn't have Jack, so they had like San Francisco toy makers who weren't going to make figures. Everybody. Now, I think if WCW Jack had the WCW license, there would have been a. Public Enemy figures, there have been Sequel Play figures, there have been Villano's 2-packs.
Yeah.
But instead, Toy Biz only did like 2 Rey Mysterio. They did 3 Rey Mysterio figures. Had one when he didn't have the mask, and he's got these baggy pants. And they got one when he came packaged with the Giant. And
yeah, that was strange.
Yeah, it's kind of an in-action figure because the neck gets stretched out for choke slamming action.
That was kind of degrading for Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, and I think that was before he actually got an actual figure. The thing is, if a lot of guys that wouldn't have got figures, like at a certain point, ended up because of the Classics lines that have come out, ended up getting figures. So the Rock and Roll Express got one. Ivan and Nikita Koloff got one. Unfortunately, I try to look these up because sometimes I want to, you know, I'll be honest, because I'm actually collecting this stuff again. And I sometimes look to see if I can find a loose one. It's like $35.
Yeah.
I don't think I would buy that even if I was a hobo.
Yeah. Let's see, Legends had the first figures of a few people, like Tully Blanchard, Gorilla Monsoon, Howard Finkel, I think, Mae Young.
Yeah, something like that. Then they eventually started expanding more. And I know I got some people for their line of Legends of Wrestling. Of course, they're kind of having to go because one of them was Terry Taylor.
Yeah, Terry Taylor one. I think that came out. Yeah. So he finally got a figure after like his own years.
Who's that?
So it's just Tommy Rich and Mike Lippert, I guess.
let me see. Well, yeah, because if you narrow the list down to people that had runs in the big companies.
Yes.
So, you know, Tommy Rich didn't get one. And Tommy Rich, though, his problem was he was never in, like, he wasn't near the WWF at any time. Right? And he wasn't big enough in WCW to warrant one with the Galoob line. And then he was in ECW before they got their line. The funny thing about ECW was getting the action figure line is I'm watching the TV from March of 99, and they're doing this thing where they're saying ECW, it's not kid stuff. And I'm thinking 7 months later, buy our action figures.
I do like that commercial. Because it's just so old school TV commercial, not ECW-like. That ECW action figure commercial.
Yeah, it's like, hit the five-star frog splash. I want to have one
five
line with
the five-star frog splash. Spicoli driver.
I want to have one with New Jack, and he's like this. Cut his motherfucking head open!
Yeah, it's strange that New Jack has had an action figure.
Yeah, he had two action figures, actually. Well, he had a repaint.
Yes, the repainted series, which was, I think, was called Thrill Zone, based on TNN's Thrill Zone lineup.
Well, it's supposed to go with the roller
Step
jam line.
From the commercial bike. Step into the Thrill Zone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was supposed
ECW
to come out with roller jam.
Roller jam.
Rock and Bowl. Man, I remember the first few months when ECW was trying to help with, they were trying to help, you know, with on TNN. They're trying to be good sports. So they're doing things like, they had the ECW guys on Roller Jam.
Yeah, I never saw that, the ECW appearance on Roller Jam.
And then they had, like, Joey Styles saying, stay tuned for Rockin' Ball. And he's doing it very sincerely, and I don't know when we're going to send in the ECW that, you know, TNN was not supporting them, you know, it wasn't going to happen on TNN. I think maybe this is when the rumors... rumors about negotiating came out with the WWF and ECW kind of had the attitude of fuck them.
Yes. I wonder what Heenan thinks about how ECW and TNA has kind of similar ratings, but TNA gets to stay on the network seemingly forever until the end of time.
Yeah, and TNA, you know, TNA it costs a hell of a lot more to put on TV than ECW did.
Yeah.
Which I know.
They have Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, which I know for a fact that it tears up, it tears Paul Heyman apart inside. All right, Eric, I don't know, I guess we're not going to go into overtime. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
All right, we might do something next week. We'll be doing the Married with Children next week or the week after. Hopefully I get to finish the series before Netflix drops it. Okay, Dill, thanks for calling in. I'm sorry you didn't have a lot to do. All right, and we will see you next week.